Welcome to the Exceptionally Irresistible Show, featuring conversations with people who have demonstrated exceptional success in their lives and who have some irresistible qualities worth learning from. Come learn how others have created an exceptionally irresistible life. You too can live an extraordinary life, both personally and professionally. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to another awesome, excellent, fun episode of the Exceptionally Irresistible Show. If you guys haven't realized by now, we have the best of the best guests ever. And today I'm super excited to introduce you to an individual who I've learned and grown to absolutely adore, love, and really cherish, really respect. His name is Jeff West. And let me tell you a little bit about Jeff West before I bring him in. This individual has been, his story is just remarkable. And how he got to a place where he was working in the insurance industry, raised to the top, and now he's teaching people how to do sales. And he has this remarkable system, which is called Fusion Points, and you'll hear all about it. And he's eventually gone into writing books. And he's just recently co-authored a book with Bob Berg, who's been a guest here before. And we're going to talk all about this and more in the show. I cannot wait for one of the most incredible and most fascinating individuals you'll ever meet, Jeff West. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, my friend. So honored to be on your show today. Thanks for having me in.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. I'm super excited about this. I know this has been a while trying to like schedule this, and we finally did it. I'm super stoked. And I can't wait to really introduce Jeff West, whom I speak to a lot, you know, in my courses and my stuff that I do. I speak a lot about you. You've changed my life in sales and different things. You opened up doors for me. And I'm super excited to start talking about you and introduce you to the audience, to the listeners, to the viewers. This is exciting. So thank you so much for the privilege, Jeff. We really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure.
Awesome. So let's jump right into it. The stuff that I absolutely fell in love with. Jeff, if you were standing at the top of some rooftop somewhere and you were able to scream out a message to the world, what would that message be?
Oh, it would probably be, especially if it's something in a business context, it would probably be quit working against the science that happens when people make decisions and start embracing that science and understanding it, and then working with it. So you make them comfortable in how you work with them.
I love it. That's exactly it. And so what's this alleged science you're talking about now? This sounding very intellectual here. What's going on?
Well, I will try to keep it at a level that even I understand it. So this will be hopefully a decent explanation. Years ago, when I retired from the insurance industry, I did the last 10 years as a state sales manager for a Fortune 500 company in the insurance market. And one thing that always puzzled us was how you could take two people who on paper, Jeremy, they look exactly the same. They both look like they should be successful. They have the right background. They look like they have the right work habits, the right leadership skills. Everything about them makes you believe that when you put them out in the field of sales, they'll both be very successful. And yet, when they get out there, one decides to make it and they persist and they do well. The other decides to quit. And it always puzzled all of us that were in leadership positions. I wanted to know how that decision got made. So as I began to brand myself and develop the books and the speaking and all that, I wanted to find out why that happened. And so it took me to the works of a gentleman named Dr. Antonio Damasio. He's a professor of neuroscience at USC and an adjunct professor at the Salk Institute. And he did a study where he studied a group of people where by accident or by some sort of default, the part of their brain which controlled logic is, of course, is separate from the part of the brain that controls emotion. And those two parts couldn't communicate in this group. And what he found was that those people, they couldn't make decisions. There had to be that connection or the decision couldn't get made. And so basically what he he summarized from that was that all decisions, doesn't matter what the decision is it based on a combination of logic and emotion. As much as I would like to think I can make a purely logical decision, neurologically, that's impossible. They have to come together to make that decision. And so what happens in the decision-making process is two things. Whatever emotion we experience in our brain, our body is pre-wired to do certain things with it. When that emotion happens up here, it sends an electric signal down into our body, down into our chest, our stomach, and that's called a somatic marker. And we begin to feel something different. We have a physiological response. If it's a negative emotion like fear, mistrust, annoyance, things of that nature, the feeling that it creates inside our body is something that we don't like. We naturally want to get away from it. If it's severe enough, it's that fight or flight syndrome. We just want to get away from it. So when that negative emotion combines with logic, it creates what I call a collision point. And it's where people aren't going to move forward. They're not going to go any further in what they're doing. But the flip side is also true. When a positive emotion happens in the brain, the same mechanics happen. The brain sends an electric charge into our body. We get that somatic marker and we feel something physiologically different. But when it's a positive emotion, what we feel is something enjoyable. It's something that we would like to repeat. And we're comfortable in that thing. So we just want to keep doing that. And so what I teach in a business process and a sales process, it quite frankly, it works in personal relationships exactly the same. What I teach is a process of intentionally creating scenarios where those positive emotional responses are being combined with logic. And I call that a fusion point. And a fusion point is that unique moment in time when logic and positive emotion merge and ignite. And when that happens, it creates tenacity. It creates loyalty. It creates comfort in taking that next step. So it's the way everybody should structure their business. And what's so funny is, you know me, you know, Bob, we've been in sales for decades, and we learned things about the psychology of sales. And so we knew, okay, if you did this, this thing would happen. But nobody ever seemed to talk about why that happens. Nobody seemed that it was just not there. Once I've studied the neurology of it, it all made such perfect sense to me.
I love it. And here's something that I'm going to share with the world. And, you know, I do share that to clients who hire me and everything. It's that you are behind the inspiration of what I call my strategic conversation. It's exactly that. The fusion points is really what my understanding of it, at least, you know, is what led to that. There's that emotional and there's that logic and there's that ebb and flow that goes on to human, natural, normal conversation that we have, you know, naturally. Sure. And you were a big, big, massive inspiration behind that. So number one, I publicly thank you. And you know, there's so much to learn from you. But I do want to touch on, you know, maybe some of the listeners who are now listening, you know, this may have potentially even felt like they literally just went through an MRI. You know, there was so much science going on. You know, I remember the first time that I ever heard of it, I was like, this sounds a little bit too complicated. And I have a background in psychology, you know, so, but like, you know, and before we touch upon, you know, the book, like what we're going to really, I really want to highlight that because that, I think simplifies things significantly. But before that, you know, is it a common objection that you hear? And I just wonder this, and I've always wondered this, do you ever feel that some people have this kind of like myth or understanding that we are emotional beings and we really always act out of emotion? Logic doesn't always play into the matter. Could you talk for that for just 1 second?
Sure. You know, for decades, you and I have heard the same things. You know, people will make the decisions out of emotion and they'll back it up or they'll rationalize it with the logic. Especially people have kind of quoted that that's how the buying process happens.
Right, right.
But when you look at the neurology of it, that's not 100% right, even if it's well-intended.
Sure.
It's that combination of logic and emotion that will produce the decision. And it's going to produce a decision that either says, I'm not moving forward, or it produces a decision that says, yeah, I like this. I'm going to move forward with it. And so our friend Dondi Scumaci often says, it's okay to have your emotions in the car where they just don't let them drive. We're going to have those emotions. And So what you have to do is you have to understand that, almost be self-aware of it in your own dealings with how you do things.
Sure.
And then let that combine with the logic and produce the decision that, that it's going to be best for you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that answer. I think that is really to the point. And what I've always understood and the way I've always interpreted, you know, your teachings is that in the end of the day, yes, we could be emotional. We're humans, you know. But then where does emotional intelligence come into all of that? You know, where does, you know, where does, like stopping, like I need, this is for me, okay? So I always, before I make a big decision, business, life, whatever, I like to sleep on everything. So I like to take the information, process it, maybe even journal it a little bit, you know, but I work through most situations that happen and I like to mm-hmm. sleep on it. And then when I wake up in the morning, kind of revisit and, but I'm trying to come from, I have my gut reaction. I know what my emotion is telling me, but I do need to put in a little bit of intelligence. You know, the logic is what you're talking about. A little bit of that, because I don't want to purely behave, because that to me is called reacting versus responding, you know? So that's what I'm taking away from what you're sharing. If you want to talk to that as well, like, feel free. Feel welcome.
I think you're exactly right. And what happens, what you're doing there, Jeremy, is you're being self-aware. You know mm-hmm. your tendency, how you can have a gut reaction and how you can make a quick decision if you wanted to, but you you've learned that about yourself. So you take the time to have a little bit of time to digest it and have the logic kind of get its play along with it as well before right. you make that decision. That's a very highly self-aware process that you're doing there. With mm-hmm. me, I can be that way, but I'm also one that will make a quick decision logically, or I'll make a quick decision emotionally. And if it's all based on emotion, that's where remorse comes in later. If you yeah. bought something and it was that way, that's mm-hmm. when buyer's remorse sets in later, because you bought it emotionally before you really thought it out logically. At the same time, though, if you're in a business conversation with someone and you're presenting to them logic and emotion at the same time, mm-hmm. and during that conversation, if you say, "Now, what do you think about that?" As you're going along, say, "How do you think about that?" Or if there, you can tell they're a little bit more relating to the emotional side based on the words they use. How do you feel about that? Is this making sense? You'll have them processing that logical decision at the same mm-hmm. time the emotions are saying, "Yeah, I could really use this." And so you're really yeah. combining both. I think it's hugely great, and that you're that self-aware that you know how to kind of tame your emotions a little bit.
No, and I absolutely love that. And then, so just turning back a second to you know, we just said that it felt like an MRI almost to many people. One thing I absolutely love about you and Bob, and this is something that really is unique, and I've never seen this anywhere until I've met, you know, you and Bob and stuff like that. It's this business parable thing, you know, which is you're taking these really complex principles and ideas, and I mean something as much of practically a live MRI. I'm sorry if I'm keeping to say that, but I'm driving a point as to why I love the books that you write, particularly Streetwise to Saleswise. I believe I'm saying that correctly. I always mix up the two between them. It transformed my life reading that book. I've consistently posted about it. I love it. Talk a little bit about that, taking these principles and putting them into story form. What inspired you, first of all, to even do that?
What a great question. You know, in my case, Jeremy, it is, it's the fact that I love really good fiction and I love to teach things that can make situations better. And one of the very first business books that I ever read early in my sales career was actually a business parable. It was by Og Mandino, and it was called The Greatest Salesman in the World. Mm. And I totally enjoyed that style. I've read how-to books. I get a lot out of the how-to books, but if you want me to really enjoy it, it's got to have that combination of fiction and the principles that you're teaching. And thus, that's where the business parable genre belongs. It's kind of funny. In the book world, there is no business parable genre. You've got fiction, you've got topical nonfiction, there's nothing that in the categories that straddle that fence. Right. So it's just its own thing. So when we compete for book awards and all that, we're competing in the business book section. Mm. But it's the reason I think that I like it so much, and everybody that I have talked to about the book, or anyone who's said anything about any of the books that I've written that they've enjoyed, they tell me something that lets me know that it's working. They'll tell me that when they started it, they just couldn't put it down. The story was so great that even if they hadn't been in sales or hadn't been in business, they would have still enjoyed the story. And when I've got that happening, I know that that's honey into my coffee or whatever. I love that. And yeah. So I didn't realize why I did, but truthfully, Jeremy, it goes back to fusion points. Because what's happening when I write a parable, especially the ones I write, it doesn't mean I won't have drama in the mix as John David Mann, Bob's co-author on The Go-Giver and my writing coach says, you want to have a really good story arc? You get your hero up in the tree, you throw rocks at him, and then you get him down safely. So I'll put some drama in there.
Yeah, absolutely, but, yeah.
I try to have it be a positive emotional experience in the story itself. And so what happens to the reader is they get that positive emotional experience over and over and over, and then the logic of what I'm trying to teach them. And when you right. do that, not only do they learn it, they retain it better. And so they're just, it's so funny to me. Once I really understood the neurology of fusion points, how I began to see that in everything. It's sure. it reminds me of the Star Wars things when the Jedi's are talking about the Force. Well, now I'm starting to see this. I see this in everything now. I see where it goes. I see it in personal relationships. Yeah. I have friends who are having challenges in their relationship. Unless they ask me, I don't volunteer because the easiest way to lose a friend is stick your nose in the middle of their business. All right. But sure. I see, okay, they're creating collision point after collision point after collision point with their spouse and then wondering why the spouse wants to leave.
Yeah,
it's the same process.
So true. And that is, and here's the funny thing is that I'm so not a fiction person. I'm not somebody who's going to send, I just don't spend the time, you know, and then most of the novels I grew up on as a kid, it took me like 10 hours to read it. And then some point in time, they made a movie of this thing. And I would be like, really? I just spent 10 hours on something I could literally watch for two. Do me a favor, you know? So I stopped the whole novel and the whole fiction thing. It just wasn't working for me. And right. I think the very first, you know, let's say business parable that I picked up, you know, in terms of a fiction was The Go-Giver, which was literally introduced to me by somebody, you know, somebody else. It was enjoyable and I actually enjoyed it. And, you know, and then I picked up, you know, your books and I was like, this is enjoyable. This is interesting. And I started using the same thing in my own writing. You know, I'm also right now writing a book and I use the tactics. Now I'm a how-to guy, okay? But I'm putting in a little bit of fiction in there with the how-to. So I haven't seen that in other books, but this is going to be different, but it's fun. But here's the reason why I'm saying all that. I'm saying that because your fusion points, the only way I actually understood it better, and the whole thing with objection proof, the only thing I understood it better is because you gave me an example. It's almost like you gave me a parable to work with and I related to the character on some level and I was able to play. Now whenever I'm doing my fusion stuff, you know, I call them touch points. That's how I interpret it. You know, whenever I'm doing that, I have a parable that I'm, you know, relating to. I'm playing it out in my head every single time.
You perfectly illustrated the point right there because it was an enjoyable story. It's the same logic, but it was an enjoyable story. It connected and you retained it and you're using it. And that's the best example of something like this. And I love the fact that you said as you're writing your book that you're trying to do some similar things. Even in a topical nonfiction book, Jeremy, when you write that, every key point you make, if you illustrate it in a story first, either about something that went right or something that went wrong, and then you make your point, the people that are reading your book are going to get that much faster. So kudos to you, my friend.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And that's great feedback. And thank you for inspiring it. You, Bob, and a few others that Don King, Don King is also doing that. You know, there's a handful of people that I just appreciate so much. Don King was also a guest on this show. It's fascinating, and I really enjoyed. So thank you guys so much. As we're wrapping up, you know, there's one thing that, you know, so typically I ask, you know, who's the people who usually, you know, relate to this, because not all everybody relates to one thing or another. I think we touched upon that in the sense that, you know, if people who really, you know, have a hard time understanding the science, the under, you know, the thing, this is what I personally love about books like yours and Bob's and John and Don, and you take these really complex situations and you're learning it in a book form, you know? So that's something I did want to highlight before we, you know, we end off. And I always like ending off on, Jeff, there has to be something that is behind your brilliance, is behind who incredible you are. What inspires you? How do you feed your soul? How do you, you know, other than how are you awesome? What inspires you?
I would say probably the thing that inspires me the most outside of family. My daughters will always be the greatest inspiration I've ever had on anything. I always say I absolutely believe in love at first sight, because it happened to me twice, both on the days my daughters were born. And I've been hopelessly and helplessly in love with those ladies ever since the day they were born.
Love it.
And so that's the real motivation as far as my whole world goes. But sure, if you're talking about a business context, the thing that motivates me the most, Jeremy, is knowing that when I do anything, whether it's writing something, whether it's speaking, whatever it is at the time, if I'm doing something and it makes the person who's consuming that content in whatever fashion, it makes their world a little better because they were involved with it, that's what my motivation is. It's so funny. I've written books before. They've been award winners. This book with Bob's taking off well. And Bob's got a huge following. But when I start getting emails back or posts back or private messages on social media where people are saying, oh my gosh, this meant so much. Mm-hmm. You hear me? It actually literally makes my eyes tear up, because I center more in my emotional side than I do my logic. And things of that nature just sets off feelings inside me that are wonderful. And so it's more about that. And you know, if I make a little money doing it, that's great. If I make a lot of money doing it, that's great. If it serves enough people, we'll make a lot of money doing it. But the point is, it's not, for me at this stage anyway, it's not about the money. It's about how can I make the change? Because somebody made that change for me. I am not even slightly exaggerating about this. In January of 2000, a sales mentor gave me two books that changed my career. I'd been kind of a struggling district manager up to that point. Wasn't in danger of getting fired, but I wasn't a star. Gave me two books that I began to apply. 2 years later, I got promoted to regional manager. 2 years after that, I got promoted to state manager. And that's a really fast progression.
Sure.
And then I did state manager for 10 years and I retired. And that book was Endless Referrals by Bob.
Wow.
And so I know how much it made a difference to me applying that. So, and I'd never met Bob at that time. Met him a couple of years later. Funny story how we met. I think I may have already told you that before, but it's one of those things. I will never meet all the people that will be exposed to whatever content, whatever books we write or whatever.
Sure.
But I know they're there. And every now and then one pops an email to me and says, Jeff, I love this. Thank you. And I go, I go tear up in the corner.
Well, there you have it. This is really it. And really, you know, to the audience members, to, you know, to the viewers, whoever's watching or listening to this, in the show notes, we do have a link to the book. Particularly, you know, I think Streetwise, the Saleswise is beyond anything. It transformed my life. And here you have it, you know, Jeff, I'm telling you straight up, there's those tears. I love them. You know, I just the other day I was telling my wife, I've never handled objections this well in my life before. I encourage, you know what, when people don't object to me, I actually present objections to them. Haven't you thought about this, by the way? You know, that's what you did for me. So, and your book, you know, it's the truth. And it really is a testament. And anybody in sales, in any any industry, this is a great book. It's a short, easy read. It's not even a difficult one, and it's enjoyable. So it is highly, highly, highly advised, not just because I love Jeff, but because this is a good book, really, you know? So that's really, I would love to just conclude on that. Thank you so much, Jeff. I really, you know, this has been one of the most enjoyable, you know, interviews. This is incredible. I'm so glad you made it. And thank you for everything that you do.
My honor. Hey, would it be okay to mention one quick thing as we sign off?
Please, absolutely.
Bob and I, along with Kim Angeli, are going to be doing a 2-day live event. It's going to be really intensive sales training in West Palm Beach, Florida in June. If you'll go to jeffcwest.com, just sign up for my Fusion Points Unleashed email newsletter, which is or the email that you get every week. And just if they sign up for that, I'll make sure they're included in the loop about the communication.
Absolutely. And we will have a link to that as well in the show notes. And we are definitely excited about it. This is going to be an event you don't want to miss. Trust me, it's a VIP event. So this is, you know, this is the top of the top, guys. Cream of the crop right here. Three incredible individuals. You really don't want to miss it. So Jeff, once again, thank you so, so much. This has been an absolute pleasure. And to all the viewers and listeners, this is, you know, your show. You guys make this happen all the time. So thank you guys for consistently showing up. This wraps up another episode of the Exceptionally Irresistible Show. Have a great week. Have a wonderful time. Bye-bye. That's it for this week's episode of the Exceptionally Irresistible Show. What has inspired you to take action in your life? Take action now. Take the first step. Share it with a friend or write it in a journal. Subscribe and share this episode. And remember, you too are exceptionally irresistible.